Welcome back. Welcome. Sorry about that. You're not welcoming back or anything. Unless, of course, you were just listening to James Burns on Freedom Files, breaking down the religion argument. You know how everybody like talks about how you're not supposed to talk about religion, politics, or stuff like that? I'm sure that there was three things, you know. Religious politics and personal relationship details, or something along those lines. The hairdresser laws, you know, kind of like the three laws for robots so that they can't kill humans. It's the three laws for hairdressers so that they don't wind up getting into any conversations where anything of actual consequence comes up, and so it keeps the conversation nice and friendly and demure. But conveniently, not today, ladies and gentlemen. I was just thinking about how the government kind of gives out the dole and stuff like that to people. And one thing that was shown to me by a listener of the show, a fella by the name of Brent, was a document that had all of the government's expenditure for the last year, quite considerable, hundreds of billions of dollars being spent on social welfare services. And I was like, whoa, what's the second biggest thing? And it's like about $80 billion being spent on healthcare. And whoa, so hold on a second. Social welfare costs like way, way more, almost double that of healthcare, you know, and we're in a socialist country that gives everybody free healthcare. You'd assume that that cost would just be, you know, astronomical. But no. And what else is the government spending money on, I wonder? And how many billions of dollars are we owing to foreign banks here? The consequences of expenditure, as any good budgeter knows, are precisely what you should be aware of with every financial decision you make. But, you know, that's assuming if you want to try and make sure the country does not go belly up, perhaps. But, as we all well know, that's the agenda. Sell off your public assets, relinquish control of people's voices so that they get apathetic and don't associate in the political process anymore and become apathetic, docile slaves. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, 402-237-2525 is the number to call, 402-237-2525. More of this after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, on the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. MP at centre of allegations revealed as as if this is a different story that you ever hear about. Oh, how many times do you hear allegations against MPs of corruption and nothing happens to them? It was probably almost the majority of the time, I would think. Labour MP Darren Hughes, who I've seen before and videoed, and he reacts well under pressure, especially when accused of being called a ginge. This Labour MP has confirmed that he is the MP at the centre of allegations about a police investigation relating to a late-night incident. But he says he's done nothing wrong. Well, let's read on, shall we? Mr. Hughes, 32, confirmed a complaint had been laid with the police about him, and he was cooperating fully with police. Oh, yes. Well, I would expect you you should, as a member of parliament. I'm wondering at what point that you'd wind up being involved in an altercation with the police as an MP in parliament in terms of being questioned and whatnot. I mean, I think the likelihood would be relatively low, because they're really good at getting away with criminal activity, and even if they, you know, were engaged in some kind of bad stuff, they've got parliamentary immunity, so it's all good. Oh, he says he's done nothing wrong, and he's got full confidence in the legal process that will lead to the right outcome. You notice how politicians, when they answer words, they don't actually answer anything. You know, it's like a Jedi mind trick, you know? There was no sexual innuendo in my campaign speech. Oh, there was no sexual innuendo in his campaign speech. Move along. Oh, he said he had decided to publicly name himself, yeah, before the cops name him first, because or the media even. Because what happens when you get any kind of incident in this country, you know, be it small or irrelevant or otherwise, you'd be surprised at just how many meat-picking media vultures will start camping out outside your office or your home trying to snap pictures of you and stuff. You know, New Zealand's a small place, and by Joe, we focus on some very insignificant things in order to distract ourselves from the fact that our country's being sold down the river like there's no effing tomorrow. The complaint against him was understood to be made by a plush, nice-looking 18-year-old man. Labour has given Mr. Hughes leave from Parliament for the day, but has not stood him down. Yeah, not yet. It depends, really, right? Like, if the media tries to blow this out of proportion a little bit more than it already has, well, then maybe he'll get pushed out of Parliament. And you know what's funny? Is that in my time of looking at politics and that kind of thing, in terms of politicians resigning in disgrace, this recent term of the National Party has kind of dwarfed all others. And it's not just stuff of people getting screwed up within the National Party. Oh, no. It's spreading to all the other little parties in Parliament. You know, I think we've got something like 5-6 different parties that are represented in Parliament, I believe. Something around those lines. And each and every one of them's experiencing kind of problems within their ranks this time for some reason. Maybe that's always been going on and I just haven't noticed. But anyway, it's a convenient distraction, from, like I said, of all the other horrible stuff that's going on. The party late last night held a crisis meeting over the issue, and it was reported this morning. Wellington police confirmed that they were investigating a complaint involving a current member of parliament about an incident alleged to have occurred in an inner city suburb in the early hours of Wednesday, March the 2nd. And Wellington District Field Crime Manager Detective Inspector Mike Johnson said inquiries into the matter are continuing, but police are not seeking any assistance from the public at this stage. Mr. Hughes entered parliament in 2002 when elected MP for Otaki, aged 24, making him the youngest MP for the two terms he held the seat. He had the smallest majority of any MP in the 2005 election, with just 382 votes more than the National Party MP Nathan Guy before losing the seat to Mr. Guy in 2008 by 1,354 votes. Yeah, National Party got some really, really big extra funding in the last election, man. I've never seen a campaign just mounted so effectively. and with all the media on their side as well. Interesting. An adept performer in the debating chamber, he was also deputy leader of the House. Mr. Hughes last week led the winning team at the press gallery fundraising debate at the backbench of pub, successfully arguing that politics is a grubby business. And he also successfully argued that that was the understatement of the century. He is currently a Labour List MP and number eight in the caucus with responsibilities as Chief Opposition Whip and Education Spokesman. He has been picked as one of Labour's rising stars, as long as a young firecracker named Jacinda doesn't steal it from him first. An awful lot of annoying stuff going on there. And I wonder how many times when people have been demonized in the media or been exposed like this sort of thing, that it's kind of like some kind of a setup, you know? And, you know, this is just my suspicious mind working. I mean, when Winston Peters had a media campaign against him for like six full months with Man on the Moon freaking headlines, Winston Houdini, Winston's a slippery character, Winston's a, you know, it just went on and on and on. And in the end, no evidence was found on him whatsoever, you know. But people still believe, after the 6 months of repetition that they heard, that he was guilty of something. But he wasn't, in any way, shape, or form. You know? They withstand months of investigation without getting any incriminating evidence against them. Ergo, they haven't done anything. But that kind of thing happening during an election campaign, oh, it took the party down from what, 6% of the vote down to about 4.5, and you need 5% of the vote in order to get into parliament to get represented at all. So it shoved out a huge chunk of people that had voted and almost got that, thanks to a well coordinated media saturation campaign. And I see this kind of happening not just to people like Winston Peters. This is happening to any parliamentarian who sticks their head up above the pulpit and starts, you know, getting really ticked off about stuff. Like Russell Norman, the co-leader of the Greens. He was, you know, had a whole bunch of annoying stuff said about him because he went out on parliament grounds and held up a Tibet flag while some Chinese dignitaries were coming in. The Chinese security ripped the flag off him and kind of bashed him away with an open umbrella. What an evil person that Russell Norman must be, you know, if you have to use an umbrella on him to shoo him away. The parliamentarians are such dangerous animals. Now, speaking of the media, this has got a whole lot of speculation and suspicion going on with this Darren Hughes case, you know, because whenever a parliamentarian, you know, gets reported to the police or something, it's a real big news, right? Really, isn't it? Isn't it? Right? One particular late night incident complaint laid by an 18-year-old young strapping lad. That's worthy of investigation, right? Hmm? Well, what about the time when John Key was labelled with a complaint and charged for the police? Did anybody hear about that? No, of course you didn't, because it got swept under the rug, because it's too important. The fact that he has broken the law or something along those lines is irrelevant as far as the police complaints authority are concerned. You know, New Zealand police, oh, the Prime Minister's a criminal. Oh, we hear this all the time. It can't be true because it's just so patently obvious that it's not true. Oh, you say you've got evidence. Oh, of course you do, but it doesn't matter because I'm just going to keep repeating what I've been told 1,000 times without reading a single piece of evidence to corroborate what you're saying, because I'm an automaton. I have the brain of a gnat. And by that, it's a double meaning. Gnat meaning person who belongs to the National Party, and also a small, mindless, blood-sucking insect you find on a beach of some variety. It's the intellectual capability of your average bureaucratic slime ball who only knows how to take orders, does not know how to reason, and does not know how to argue, other than repeating the exact same thing over and over again. And I have, indeed, encountered many such individuals with whom reasonable discourse is simply not a possibility. Because every time I try to suggest something else or a way around whatever problem or cataclysm that we've got before, they respond with a fabulous repetition of exactly what they said like 12 seconds ago. This is not a healthy way to be running any type of organization, let alone centrally planned. If you want to get anything done in this country, you've got to stay on hold to the central clockwork scumbaggery dues for goodness knows how long before they'll even transfer you to a local place where you wanted to call in the first place, and you can't even get the contact details for that local representative of the government because they pulled them off the website to force everybody to go through the overworked central switchboard. This is insane. It's not being run efficiently. Look, heck, it's barely even being run at all. I mean, how could any business or organization work and survive in any kind of environment where logic is just thrown out the window? It's just silly. You know? They're unable to adapt to any changing situations. And as a result, and this is not, you know, isolated to any particular government agency, I'm making a broad generalization here, sure. But you get the idea. What's the result of that happening? Of that being the way business is being done? It is then no wonder that the economy's in the toilet. It is no wonder that people have no idea what policy the government is making about anything. If I were to ask you what the search and surveillance bill is, you couldn't tell me. Because it's not something that gets into public discourse and consciousness anywhere near often enough for people to pick it up. Unless they're, of course, incredibly bright onto it and enlightened people that you know, listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show. It was difficult to get depressed when every sentence is followed by a cackle of some description. But of course, if we are talking about like society going to heck in a handbasket, let's talk about Auckland. You know, city where I'm currently living right now, city of, I don't know, 1.4 million people or so. We've been told now, after the central bridge connecting the two shores of the city together was built without any rail lines attached to it and with very few lanes on it anyway, costing copious quantities of money for refitting, that now, instead of doing any refitting, they're just going to build a tunnel. And now, instead of actually just going ahead and building the tunnel because they're a bunch of F-wits who didn't get the job done right the first time because they didn't see the possibility of growth. Aucklanders have been told that if they want tunnels for their new harbour crossing instead of a new bridge, they might have to dig into their own pockets for the $1.4 billion difference. A transport agency report issued yesterday estimated the cost of a bridge at up to $3.9 billion, whereas two or three lane tunnels will cost $5.3 billion. A new crossing is needed within about 20 years to cope with the city's growth and to bolster the aging Harbour Bridge. It was built in the 50s, I believe. I've got a picture of my dad when he was a young boy standing at the opening there. A new bridge would run close to the existing 52-year-old structure, diverging it from it at Northcote Point and then forming a triangle to the Auckland Isthmus through West Haven. Now, I don't want to be cynical, but this is going to be done by private contractors, I assure you. And they'll probably have a budget blowout, something in the region of, I don't know, double what it was supposed to cost originally, like it happened with the Supreme Court building down in effing Wellington, the capital, would cost $8 million to house half a dozen judges. Is this the kind of message that we want to leave for our children. The pointless squandering of copious amounts of money to scumbags who don't deserve a cent more than they've already taken from us is not an efficient way to run an economy. Wait, I mean, maybe I'm just young and idealistic. I don't. The tyranny. The tyranny. It's not funny anymore, you know. Oh, wait, maybe it is a little. Only if you're a crazy person like me who finds even the most remotely terrible incidents as a cause for comedic effect. I'm wondering whether or not it's a good idea to any longer take these things even less than seriously. After all, everybody who I know that's lived in this city for quite a long time paid all their rates, all the rates through their rent, and I think they deserve a slice of everything that their hard labour and work has been taxed off them. But no, if we want to get anything, we have to pay for it again. So what the F is happening to our money? Where did it all go? Has it been frickin' stolen? I'd probably wager it has. In fact, I could probably get on guests that will tell you precisely that it has been stolen and precisely whom stole it. We're living in a criminal enterprise. It's called government. You know, and they don't want you to be stealing anything. Of course not, because they don't like competition. You know, and I wonder what would happen if somebody tried to steal money off the government, how upset everybody would be from them. You know, it's just like, well, you're stealing off your own people, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, well, bro, the government does it every day. What are you kidding me? And they squander most of it. Most of it. Apparently for every 30 bucks you give government, you get a buck back. As opposed to every dollar you spend in lower education, there's 72 you get back. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Thank you very much to everybody who's with us there on the chat room at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Join us there if you're keen. And we'll be right back after the break. 402-237-2525 is the number to ring. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Join us on Facebook, and I've got some good updated news for y'all just about our little operation here, Guerrilla Media, which kind of owns the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The Vinnie Eastwood Show Facebook, no. YouTube channel, that's the one, is number one for comedians in New Zealand. And I believe it's number three in the whole of New Zealand. So that's not too bad. And also Mr. News, Guerrilla Media, my personal channel where I upload all my videos to, that kind of thing. is getting itself a little bit of a makeover, and apparently we're going to be having those little AdSense ads on or something, which George Heminger, who we've had on this show, manages to fund his little man on the street operation at Survive and Thrive TV .net. And so hopefully we might be able to fund this show. Speaking of which, subscribers, $5 a week, New Zealand dollars as well. They're pretty cheap to Americans, I believe. Just to support the show and to help us keep our costs down, that sort of thing. 100 people gave us $5 a week. Hey, we've got enough money to run the show each month. That'd be fantastic. If you have a look at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, we've got some great sponsors that are coming on board now, including Iodine, which those of you who don't know about this, iodine's very important to protect you from radiation. Even the US Surgeon General thinks so. And apparently in the US it is sold out, but we're not sold out here in New Zealand. And if you use the Vinnie Eastwood Show code, you get 50% off your shipping. Okay. I think it's kind of important to protect yourself in times like these because thyroid cancer is not pleasant. It's really not. In other news, speaking of cancers eating away at everything, there was some snipers and some shells terrorizing a Libyan city. Muammar Gaddafi's snipers and tanks are terrorizing civilians in Libya's third largest city, and the U.S. military said it was considering all options in response to dire conditions that have left people cowering in darkened homes and scrounging for food and rainwater. Now, something tells me that Gaddafi wouldn't shell his own people in civilian cities if what he's talking about on TV is like, oh, my people love me, blah, 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 blah. You know, whoa, hold on a second. And now you're shelling your own people, Gaddafi. I smell a rat, and it could be a rat for either side. Who knows? Maybe just like almost every other military operation. No, I'm just joking. Maybe, and there's just a total theory on my part, absolutely no evidence to support it whatsoever, but I'm going to postulate it forth anyway because I have a strong suspicion. Maybe it was in fact the US troops or somewhat of their allies in the Libyan rebellion, which they sent 1,000 US forces to Libya not too long ago to train up in an Al-Qaeda Afghanistan type fashion. Maybe they attacked the towns as a pretext to getting US more involved in another little war. How many wars are they in now? There's Afghanistan, Iraq, you know, there's Libya, and of course there's the war on the American people. And then of course there's their financial war as well, you know, through their interest in the World Bank and whatnot, taking over the entire world with monstrous loans that you can create out of absolutely nothing. I mean, what's going on here? You know, it's becoming so destable. How is another war good for anybody? I mean, shouldn't we just go, okay, we have to deal with about 2% less oil in order to avoid a war? I go, let these people sort their stuff out, man. There's plenty of oil everywhere else. We can, I mean, come on. Pump harder, brother. How about you open up some freaking refineries and allow all the big tankers that are lining up in ports around the world full of oil that have to wait there because there's just not enough refineries to make the oil. It's for some kind of a production bottleneck to produce an artificially high oil price. It's insane. And people are still buying it. And then the government passes legislation from freaking climate change, ETS, emissions trading scam, to charge you even more for it. Oh, I feel like a vampire's victim, Vinny, you know. The triple V, and believe me, not one of the V's leads for victory here. You know, it's like you're being sucked dry, you know, as if every single part of your insides is being liquefied and you're being sucked through a silly straw. That's what being taxed by the government and having your government go rogue and take on every other person around the world feels like. I can't. Heavy anti-aircraft fire and loud explosion sounded in Tripoli after nightfall, possibly a new attack in the international air campaign that so far has focused on military targets, but conditions have deteriorated sharply in Misrata in the west, the last major city held by rebel force trying to end Gaddafi's four-decade rule. And just remember that when you're watching the news, have a look at how the jets are being photographed. You'll notice that each and every one of them is only being photographed taking off from the airfield. Russian satellites have confirmed that there have been no air attacks on Libya. They're saying that they've sent like 15 planes or something. Mate, when they invaded Iraq with George Bush Sr., they sent 1,500 aircraft. Okay? Something is very, very much strange in the land of Libya these days. Now, why is Libya important? Well, 2% of the world's oil for one. And, you know, say what you want about the inefficient fossil fuels that poison the earth or the evil oil companies or whatever. Just going ahead and shutting them down and not replacing them just means more problems for everybody. You know, I'm all for just everywhere laying down their guns and just saying, look, right, I'm sorry, I've been a bit of a knob. I've been killing your people and you've been killing mine. And, you know, when we fight each other, both of our peoples die. And it's just stupid, man. And I'm sorry. You know, here's my gun. Kill me if you want, but I don't want to see any more people die. All right, that's basically it. I don't like to fight, at least not in a physical sense. And Lord knows, I hope that never actually happens. Although I'm pretty sure it will. But I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. Let's hope I also don't have to pay for that bridge when I comes to, because I live in Auckland. We are being asked to pay for a new bridge. Never mind. Conditions have deteriorated sharply in Misrata in the west of Libya, the last major city held by the rebel force trying to end Gaddafi's four-decade rule. Presidents of the coastal city, 200 kilometres southeast of Tripoli, say shelling and sniper attacks are unrelenting. A doctor said tanks opened fire on a peaceful protest on Monday. The number of dead are too many for our hospital to handle, said the doctor, speaking on condition of anonymity for fear of reprisals if the city falls to Gaddafi's troops. As for food, he said, we share what we find, and if we don't find anything, which happens, we don't know what to do. Desperate situations. Ripe for a crisis, and guaranteed the crisis is going to be exploited. If we've got US troops, British, French, seems like the old Suez Canal alliance to me, where they all allied back in the day to make sure that the Suez Canal, which is basically kind of like the Panama Canal. You know, it's a great connection. You don't have to sail all the F-way around Africa from the Mediterranean. You can just go straight through this little canal that goes through Egypt. All right? Great resource. And just like Panama has been the prize of many little military campaigns and strange political ongoings. And now that old partnership that tried to swingle over them that time has come back together again. You know, all the king's horses and all the king's men. I wonder if they'll be able to force Libya to be exploded into dust and then put it all back together again. After all, they've released figures, right, of 110 cruise missiles fired from US ships, each of which costs about $500,000. Am I wrong here? Like, If it's just a little rebel war, I mean, why do you need planes and stuff? Don't intelligence agencies know how to deal with rebel wars much better by infiltrating them, doing sneaky spy stuff kind of thing? I mean, where are the James Bonds of the world right now? How come they're not, you know, taking out the leaders or destroying their fuel dumps or whatever the heck? You know, who's supplying these people? I don't know. It's crazy, man. Everybody says, oh, look, there's a war over there. And they don't think beyond that. It's just one faction versus another. Oh, it happens all the time. All right, that's fine. I can understand that. What you can't understand is how each side is getting money to kill each other. You know, who's funding these people? Who started off these wars? What the hell is going on here? You know, mainstream news ain't saying jack. They just tell you what's going on after the fact. You know, I mean, if they were to say that, oh, you know, it's some grand conspiracy by a bunch of globalist banksters to destabilize the Arab region and force up massive oil prices and to make the food prices absolutely spike and trigger a global genocide through the eugenics agenda and to basically destroy everybody. If they were to say that, then I'd be like, hey, now these wars suddenly make sense. You know, whereas if they say now, oh, these people are fighting against these people because these people have been in charge for 40 years and the other people don't like them. It's just like, well, why have they all kind of like, you know, suddenly risen up now? You know, yeah, how did they get organized all of a sudden? You know, I don't quite understand. But you know, knowing of course that 1,000 US troops have landed some time ago to help train up the rebels, and then all of a sudden the rebels start to appear with all these weapons and stuff like that and start taking over towns, I don't think it's a coincidence. oh my goodness, it's so silly. You know, Ajdabiya, a city of 140,000, as a gateway to the east, has now been under siege for a week. Outside the city, a ragtag bunch of hundreds of fighters milled around on Tuesday, clutching mortars, grenades, and assault rifles. Some wore khaki fatigues. One man sported a bright white studded belt. Sound kind of flashy for terrorists, huh? Maybe they got some things fresh from the malls. It's all the US dollars that they're carrying around in their pockets, probably. That's just an allegation on my part. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. We'll be right back after the break. 402-237-2525 is the number to call. 402-237-2525.
Around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment of the first hour. I'm your host, Vinnie Eastwood. This is the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, joining us in our chat room there at www.thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Or if you Google me, that's kind of how people find me. But we're about half of the hits that go to the web, directly to the website. Anyway. Speaking of which, we had a good article that one of our listeners in there put up, And it's China calls for immediate ceasefire in Libya after days of Allied airstrikes. All of a sudden, I find something in common with the Chinese. Isn't that strange? Now, China was one of five countries to abstain from last week's UN vote to allow all necessary measures to stop Gaddafi's assault on rebel-held towns. This is from the Associated Press. Now, hold on a second. China has veto power. They could have stopped this UN resolution. Just like every time there's a resolution against Israel, the US vetoes it. This has happened like over 100 times. So why didn't China, if they're so obsessed with calling a ceasefire, then why did they abstain and allow the US to go ahead and start shooting nuclear missiles at them? Oh, well, not nuclear missiles, Tomahawk cruise missiles. Sorry. Bit of a Nostradamus-in slip there. And now Beijing, China called Tuesday for an immediate ceasefire in Libya, where the US and European nations have been launched punishing airstrikes to enforce a United Nations-endorsed no-fly zone. So let me get this straight. You shoot Tomahawk cruise missiles at towns in order to enforce a no-fly zone. Isn't no-fly just supposed to, you know, destroy things in the air, hence no-fly? I think Stuart Swerdlow was right. They need better writers, man. I mean, their cover stories just don't hold any water. All parties must immediately cease fire and resolve issues through peaceful means, Chinese foreign military spokeswoman Zhang Yu said at a regularly scheduled news conference, citing unconfirmed reports that the airstrikes had caused civilian death. How can airstrikes not cause civilian deaths, I wonder? You know, like in Iraq, for example, there's a million dead Iraqis and only like a couple of thousand dead US soldiers. I mean, come on. In what universe does one live if one thinks that it's even a slight, even chance or possibility that an airstrike won't kill civilians? So, you know, my answer would be, don't do it, for F's sake. But I think it's really ironic that the Chinese are saying don't freaking kill everybody and resolve things through peaceful means, where if you're a Falun Gong practitioner, they'll harvest your freaking organs on the way to a waiting plane to sell them on the black market. You know, it's like a total hypocrisy. Oh, we don't want people to be killed and maimed over there, but it's okay if we do it to our own people by the millions. Ha ha ha. China was one of five countries that abstained from last week's vote on the UN resolution to allow all necessary measures to stop Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's assault on rebel-held towns. It was approved with the backing of the United States, France, and Britain. Beijing has been sharply critical of the airstrikes that hit Libyan air defense and forces for a third night Monday. The foreign ministry registered serious reservations about the resolution, and on Monday, the country's most important political newspaper compared the Western airstrikes against Libya to the US-led invasions in Iraq and Afghanistan. In places such as Iraq, the unspeakable suffering of this people are a mirror and a warning. The Communist Party's flagship newspaper, People's Daily, said in a commentary. It's so ironic. We didn't massacre 60 million people in order to get the 1% popular support to get Chairman Mao into parliament, into power, did we? No, that never happened. And it's not a warning to anybody, you know. It's just like, you know, keep that under wraps, right? If you don't keep that under wraps, we'll invade your home and we'll kidnap one of your family and we'll bring them back, but they won't be able to speak. They'll either have their tongues cut out or have suffered so badly that they would never want to speak ever again in order to keep the secret. As they did, I'm told, in the Tiananmen Square massacre. Some people are told that there was about 5,000 people killed in Tiananmen Square. Much, much more than that, because in order to keep it secret of how many they actually killed, and they're talking about more like 50,000, they had to take about something like 500,000 to 1 million people hostage, right, from every single house and town around the area or whatever, and tortured them for ages so that they wouldn't say nothing about it. And now, Tiananmen Square, it was pretty bad. It was 5,000 people. How brutal of them. But it's nothing like what it actually happened, apparently. This was told to me by a good friend of mine's father, who's been living in China for some time. And, well, I think at times when you point the stick at others, you also need to point the stick at yourself, you know, just to make sure you know what it's like to have your own eye poked out. Yeah. And China, interestingly enough, has historically opposed foreign military interventions as part of its long-standing policy of staying out of countries' internal affairs. Instead, what they do is they just send in people to set up businesses in order to cripple the local businesses and then take over the countries in a type of economic warfare as opposed to real and perceived warfare, which is much harder to take over because everybody sees that there's a real threat. And who do you think they learned this trick off? They've learned it off the international bankers who financed the setup of the communist state in China. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back.
Women and children, front lines, log on, tune in, stand and be counted. Wounded stations in the belly of the vulture. Watch your back, there's no civilians. Women, children, front lines, listen. Consider this a distant early warning. Fire's imminent, pollution, gathering dust particles, funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation too fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
Ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly working in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. And on occasions, you know, there are businesses out there that have something very important to say and a very New World Order aware. And I feel it's kind of my duty to give those kind of people a bit of plug play, just because, you know, what the heck else am I going to do, you know? So I've got Mark Langdon from BlueShield.info. It's a way to block EMF radiation. Mark, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Thanks, Vincent. How are you?
You know, borderlining on fabulous is my party line, so in this election year, vote fabulous. But other than that, I don't know, maybe slightly headachy or sort of nauseous on occasion, you know? Maybe that's something to do with the EMF radiation that we're surrounded by all the time.
Well, you might be experiencing a little bit of fatigue and perhaps a bit of dizziness from time to time. That'd be right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we have a product. Well, they can put pay to that for you. It's called the Blue Shield, and it basically protects you from electromagnetic radiation, or EMR, or the common term is EMF, which is electromagnetic fields. And, of course, everyone knows they're emitted from appliances, radios, TVs, microwave ovens, cell phones, you name it. And there's been some research lately just to suggest that actually these fields are way beyond the acceptable level. So you may be feeling a bit of that, Vincent.
Yeah, may do. Maybe feeling a little bit of the New Delhi Times report out of the the Australian Research Foundation a couple of years ago did a big analysis of all this EMF radiation and its potential causing of brain cancer, and they said that there's a potential that it'll cause 2 billion cases of brain cancer by 2020, and I got fired from working at a telecommunications company because I was telling people that. I'm a troublemaker. Yeah, what can I say?
The big players really don't want you to know about this kind of thing. And, we're not going to make any claims about our product. Reason being is that we want to get tied up. But basically the Blue Shield changes your environment. That's really what we want to change. And when you change your environment, of course, your body responds accordingly. So that's the whole idea behind Blue Shield. We change the environment to so your body adjusts to that new environment. Because you can't actually take away the EMFs. You can't wear a tinfoil hat or put a big aluminium foil screen up in front of your computer.
I don't know, bro. I'm a conspiracy theorist. I like my tinfoil hat. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Join us in the chat there, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please don't deserve.
La onda è mobile, qual più al vento, qual accento e di pensiero, sempre una mobile, leggiadro viso.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This goes out to my homeboys in the cancer industry. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. My very special guest from blueshield.info is Mark Landon. We're talking about electromagnetic frequencies. Is that what EMF means, electromagnetic frequencies?
Electromagnetic fields. Commonly known as EMR as well, electromagnetic radiation.
There's a couple of different types of radiation, aren't there? And like some are dangerous and some aren't, or what's the deal?
Electromagnetic fields in general, there's ionizing and non-ionizing radiation. I won't go into too much of a technical part of it because I don't want to lose people here with the technicalities, but basically all your appliances emit what they call electromagnetic fields. And that field is composed of a frequency, which is the mains. In New Zealand here, it's like 50 hertz. In the USA, it'll be like 60 hertz. And that's putting out a constant signal, if you like. And of course, there's no real safe level of that. And the body can tolerate a certain amount of that, but then we've got this, the radiation from cell phones and what have you. That's radio waves, okay? So they're slightly stronger fields, and also there's no safe level. The average cell phone uses between 350 to 2,000 megahertz carrier wave. That, however, is too high for the body to register, but what the body does register is the low frequency, the voice modulation riding upon that signal, and that's what we call information data packets, which the body basically cannot handle, and it doesn't recognize these as a natural thing, therefore it reacts. So it's like the body's reacting as if it's been invaded by a virus. So then of course, all your cells in your body go into a defense mode and try and lock down. And that's when your intracellular communication shuts down as well. So there's quite a scientific.
Are the knock-on effects from that?
You'll get a lot of symptoms as a result of that. people, different people have different symptoms. Different people have different sensitivities. You'll get different symptoms like dizziness, sleeplessness, fatigue, irritability. You know, if someone works in an office and they're using a computer all day and they come home and they're really irritable and scratchy, I mean, it's probably because they've been exposed to these fields and the body's stressing out, and therefore they have less resources to deal with that stress. Therefore, their mood changes, and it's day in, day out of that. Of course, it tends to suppress your immune system because your body's trying to fight off something that's not there, and after a while it becomes exhausted, more or less. Yeah.
Well, you know, I suppose that can apply to a lot of people that are out there feeling really exhausted, that are all snappy and really and really aggro from being at work all day. And previously we thought, hey, that's just what work is all about.
Maybe part of it, but what we see more and more happening is that as people introduce new technologies, come in like Wi-Fi, internet, etc., you just have to look on your computer to see how many signals are around you coming from different Wi-Fi. I pick up 5 or 6 at any one time. So you got 5 or 6 signals interacting, and your body, believe it or not, actually locks in on those signals. What actually happens at a cell level is quite interesting, because when the body's under attack, the protein coating on each cell cannot recognize a signal because it's actually foreign to it. Okay, so it's like, uh-oh, we've got the signal coming in, and it's like going, oh no, we're going to have to defend ourselves from this because it's a threat to our well-being, right? And you get the body going into defense mode, locking down. So before it actually locks down, it sends out a little communication to all the other cells to do the same thing. So all of a sudden, your whole body's going like, oh no, we're being, you know, affected by this this unseen thing, which the body's recognizing as a virus because it can't actually tell the difference as such.
So it's kind of like a city being locked down under martial law kind of thing.
Yeah, well, nobody can get in or out anymore. The enzymes and nutrients are no longer absorbed. Okay, so also toxins are not being released. So, and also the communication between cells are eventually stopped, as the microtubules inside the cells are actually locked down as well. So the body's going into defense mode, locking down
the cells. So how often in an average day would somebody really be exposed to a field like this? And I presume if you're talking about every electronic device from a fridge to a computer to a microphone, it would be all the time, wouldn't it?
All the time. You can't get away from it. This is the thing. You can't really walk around in an aluminium suit or a lead suit or whatever and actually stop these fields from affecting your body. They're going to penetrate steel, aluminium as well, because there's a co-component to the electromagnetic field which scientists now recognize as a tachyon or a quantum component which travels right through any solid matter, so you can't really get away from it.
In Japan, this was something that became sort of notorious. There was somebody selling male shirts, made of metal to sort of reflect all those sort of EMF fields that was selling to people. And I'm just thinking, my goodness, I mean, if you have to go back to practically medieval technology in order to save modern EMF field violations, there's something drastically wrong.
Yeah, well, you can't physically pin these things down. This is why we produce a blue shield, because it actually produces its own field. And there's a lot of factors in that, which I'll talk about a bit later on, which prevent the body from recognizing these other surrounding EMFs. And this is the beauty of it. There's a lot of, have you seen a lot of passive devices out there? So these coils you hang around your neck and these little pyramids and stuff that you put near your computer and these crystals that you put on the screen.
I was going to say crystals. Like somebody said, like an amethyst crystal was like really good for getting the radiation. I don't know.
Yeah, they do put out frequencies, no doubt they do something. But the fact is, they're not really strong enough. Those are passive devices. unlike Blue Shield, it's actually an active device. It actively produces its own field, which has a number of influences on the body that stop the EMF from affecting it.
How do you keep this thing on? Do you have to plug it in, or has it got batteries, or does it like just do its own thing anyway?
We've got several different models. We've got an industrial model that does a very large area that covers about 50 meters diameter across. We've got the plug-in model also, which does the house, the whole house, average size house, around about 15 meters across. You've got the portable model, which you carry on you anywhere. So you can take it on an airplane if you're actually flying or anything like that, protects you from radiation in that situation. And we've also got USB model.
Well, it's interesting you should say that about the radiation on planes. A friend of mine, he took a Geiger counter on a plane with him from New Zealand to LA, and it was peaking the whole trip.
Well, you're exposed to a lot of radiation from space being up that high, which is also electromagnetic radiation in some form or another.
Yeah.
Even light is a radiation of some kind, but it's when you're exposed to a certain amount for a certain period of time. So low level radiation for a long period of time is harmful, whereas high exposure for a short period of time is not normally as harmful.
Mm-mm. Well, you know, gently does it is the way forward here. Now, I wanted to talk about the personal devices, you know, because I'm out and about, I'm on the street, and I'm walking into people's homes and stuff like this, and I'm just surrounded by all this equipment, all of this. And you know, when I see electronic equipment, now I'm starting to kind of translate it in my mind's eye to cancer, you know, like, oh, that's a very nice cancer you've got here. Do you want to watch some videos on my cancer? Oh, yeah, bro, that'd be great. Well, oh man, you know, that's a 42-inch cancer. Oh yeah, bro, it cost me 2,000 cancers to buy this cancer.
I mean, a lot of people are afraid of that issue about cancer and stuff. There's a lot of factors which come into it. Which I mean, EMS may be contributing towards the stress, but it's also dietary, and you've got a lot of other factors involved in your own personal life. Your emotional well-being, et cetera, have a lot to do with that. So just staying away from the big C a little bit. I mean, these stresses don't help us, you know, in a modern society. You've got stresses at work, you've got stresses at home, you've got stress everywhere. But if we can reduce that stress by using a product, well, you know, you're going to have a better chance of having a healthier lifestyle in general. So what we're talking about before was the passive devices that are out there. Quite often they're not strong enough to generate their own field to overcome or even strengthen the body's own field to overcome these very high strength fields that you find with Wi-Fi especially and also your cell phone. So what the Blue Shield does, it generates its own field which has a stronger influence than the surrounding harmful EMF. Okay, so you're more or less swamping out what is already around you. So you're changing your environment for a start there. And the body responds to the strongest influence, okay? So if you live next to, for example, just for argument's sake, if you live next to some power lines, right, they're putting out 50 hertz mains frequency. That might be 400 volts, okay? And also just next to your house on the other side is a cell phone tower, okay? Now, a cell phone tower puts out a real high-strength field. Your body's going to be responding to the strongest influence, so therefore your body won't respond to the power lines, it'll be responding to the cell phone site. Okay, now we come along, we put Blue Shield in there, which is even stronger again. Therefore, your body's going to respond to the Blue Shield. Now, there's a lot of factors in here why the body will respond to the Blue Shield and not respond to the corresponding man-made frequencies from cell phones or power lines. There's a lot of factors involved there. It's all on our website, but just going here to our website. The Blue Shield automatically puts out its own field, okay? This is putting out a naturally occurring frequencies, which is more or less equal to the natural earth resonance. So before mankind came along and made power, made cell phones, there's a natural Schumann resonance, it's called, which is a natural pulse, if you like, of the earth. Now, our bodies are accustomed to that over millennia, so we've evolved with that frequency. And
man-make resonance field. Man-make resonance field.
Resonance fields, no. The natural occurring frequency of the earth is just the earth resonance is around about 7.83 cycles per second. Okay, so it's a low, what they call a ELF, an extra low frequency. Now, our body naturally has evolved with that. Okay, as soon as you introduce frequencies which are above the range, like 50 hertz or 50 cycles per second, that's out of our normal functioning, healthy functioning field. And if we start responding to that, it's going to throw all our biochemical processes out of kilter. Okay, so what the Blue Shield does, it emits a resonance that is familiar to our cells. Okay,
yeah.
So that's one reason. The Blue Shield also generates a rhythm that is in tune to our body clock. Okay, have you heard of the circadian rhythm? Which is your natural awake sleep cycles.
Is that why they call cicadas cicadas, because they've got a circadian rhythm?
No. Different animal.
Okay, just a theory. Go ahead.
So that resonance that the Blue Shield puts out is familiar to our cells, okay? And that rhythm also is familiar to ourselves. What the Blue Shield is doing is mimicking what is already in nature, but actually making it more pronounced or amplifying the effects of that. So our body will, A, respond to that strongest frequency, and also the most natural frequency to the body, the body will naturally just tune into. Okay? Like a tuning fork. If you get a tuning fork and bang it and then put it next to another tuning fork, that other tuning fork starts to vibrate at the same frequency, right?
It doesn't matter what frequency
you vibrate it at, it'll tune to it. So we want it to vibrate to a natural frequency, so we use a Blue Shield as like a tuning fork. We vibrate it at that frequency and then put it close to the body, and the body starts to vibrate at that frequency too, more or less. So
the Blue Shield definitely puts out good vibes then.
Good vibes. There's a lot to it. There's an on-off ratio, which is... built in, which some people might know of, the Fibonacci ratio. You look at a snail shell, it starts off small and it circles out bigger and bigger and bigger. That's what they call Fibonacci ratio, okay? So that ratio is in the head of a sunflower. All the seeds are rotating in what they call a Fibonacci ratio. So that's right throughout nature. It's right throughout our bodies. And we use that in the waveform and the on-off ratio and all the frequencies that the Blue Shield puts out as well. The thing about the Blue Shield is that people might go, oh, how do I know it's working, you know? I mean, we've found that animals and plants respond to the Blue Shield as well, not just people, so living things. Plants tend to grow better. Animals tend to stay more healthier. We've even had sick animals go and plant themselves and sit underneath the unit, move the unit to another room, the animal get up, and this animal was a dog, and in that case it moved out to the extra room and sat underneath it there too, unplugged it again and put it in another place just to check, you know, there's something going on here. The sick animal went to sit under the Blue Shield for a few days and eventually became better. Its overall health improved.
So it didn't have anything to do with the materials constructing the Blue Shield, partly made of sausage.
No sausages in the Blue Shield.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It discounts any possible placebo effect. Okay.
Oh yeah.
And what happens too is that when people have been under stress for a long period of time, when they first use the Blue Shield, because their bodies have been storing up toxins and the cells are shut down in some areas and you know, things are just not going right for that person, they will once their cells start to detox, they will experience some tiredness or detox symptoms, which are merely transient. So people that are really, really sensitive and find out that they have a lot of health problems because they've been exposed to fields or they are electrically sensitive, they will notice they'll have some tiredness or detox symptoms when they first use the Blue Shield.
All right. Well, we'll get more into this after the break. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Mark Langdon from blueshield.info. That's B-L-U, shield.info. We'll be right back after the break, folks.
Yeah, and no one like me, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo. But I'm here now. So what you wanna do? I'm the dude you really know, can flow. Like this, like this, like this. Let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this?
Not many, if any, not many, if any.
How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio and, incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. A very special guest is Mark Langdon from Blue Shield, B-L-U-E, oh, no, no, just B-L-U, shield.info. And we're talking about EMF radiation and such and all the terrible stuff that's going on down with it. And speaking of which, Mark, did you know that they don't even need permits to put up these new cell phone repeater towers now? There'll be people that go away for the weekend, and when they return, there's this enormous freaking repeater tower right in front of their property.
Oh, nothing surprises me.
It's quite a cheery world we live in. And you know, it's just like, for goodness sake. Now, we haven't experienced this kind of radioactive field quite so much as we do today. I mean, like back in the day, say in the 50s or whatever, to find a child with cancer was like something that a doctor would like travel across the world to come and see, because it was just so rare and so weird. And now children are just falling down, get dead with cancer every day, everywhere, you know? And it's like a freaking pandemic. Got like 1 in 2, 1 in 3 people getting cancer at some point in their lives nowadays, according to our own statistics, and there seems to be absolutely no end to it. And the fact of the matter is, it's not just EMF radiation that's causing everybody to be sick. It's the food that we're being shoveled down, all the processing and everything, like drains it fully of nutrients and leaves you freaking destitute at the best of times. And sickness is almost assured. Unless, of course, you take protective and restorative action in terms of your health and the environments that you're putting into, I mean, and the relationships that you're in. I mean, if you've got toxic people that are doing nothing but bringing you down and making you stressed out and all of that kind of stuff, you know, stop talking to them for a while. You'll find you feel better. You know, avoiding situations is sometimes not a bad idea. Just like avoiding, say, a radioactive dead zone. Well, that's my take. I could be wrong. Maybe radiation is good for you, like some chick on Fox News said the other day. Oh, it'd be quite funny. Our very special guest, Mark Langdon, joins us now from New Zealand. Mark, welcome back.
Thanks, Vinny. Good to be back.
Now, you're talking about, what I wanted to know is, what is the energy supply for these little Blue Shield generator thingies? I mean, you've got the plug-in ones. What's the portable one run off, batteries?
Portable one runs off 2 AAA batteries at 3 volts, and the USB model just plugged into your computer and runs off the 5 volts from the USB port. So it doesn't actually have any batteries at all. I mean, great to have a USB one you can actually just take around with you and plug it in wherever you're going. Of course, you can actually plug it in your car. It's great from the car if you have a little USB plug in the stereo. That'll help with travel fatigue and actually travel sickness. Tends to assist with that. A lot of travel sickness is to do with the electromagnetic fields coming off the coil from the engine in the car. And, of course, with these newer cars and with their computerized systems, there's more noise or EMF noise coming off these engines, and some people are sensitive to it, and they may experience some nausea, and in some cases some car sickness, which involves some vomiting. Yeah, not good.
Yeah,
so that's not really good.
Signs that you're getting some kind of radiation that ain't good for you, yeah? And I heard that these new hybrid cars with their even more electric engines are even worse for you, you know? That'll teach you to save the environment.
Well, they've actually got big electric motors in them, which, of course, just emit more electromagnetic fields. And, we can't get away from it these days. If we do go eventually to electric cars, of course, every single household's going to have problems. But you can't really get away from it. You've got the power lines outside in the street there. You know, you've got these cell phone sites going up everywhere. There was a bit of resistance in the beginning to those cell phone sites, but, of course, as time goes on, people just kind of accept it as normal. And that's the way they get away with it.
People have got short memories, eh?
Very short. Mm.
Which is probably might have something to do with the EMFs.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
Yep. There is some evidence to suggest that, and even ADDDH, the hyperactive children.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of cases where we've actually installed a Blue Shield plug-in into a home with hyperactive children, and all of a sudden the children are not hyperactive anymore. So figure that one out. Mm.
Well, you know, the difference.
So this hyperactivity probably does stem from a bit of stress from electromagnetic fields, no doubt.
There was a study a while ago. I was like, what's the difference between ADD and ADHD? It's the picture quality. But as you were saying.
In Japan, there was a study done, and they found out that there's a correlation between the increase in wireless or proliferation of wireless technologies and the incidences of diseases like cancer and stuff. That's what they're finding out. Of course, it's being swept under the carpet because there's billions and billions of dollars involved with the setup of these wireless devices, and that's our technology now. The health effects, just like smoking tobacco, would be found later on down the track, you know. There's nothing really you can do about it unless you want to protect yourself and use a Blue Shield. We've done some tests with urine testing. We've got some blood tests on the way from Australia. We've just had a professor in Japan test the product. He's actually been looking into electromagnetic fields for the last 24 years. He found our product to be effective, so it's starting to move off in Japan. We've got UK taking it on, and also Australia just recently. So we're starting to get out there and get the product out there to people. And we're making it available. It's very affordable. In fact, today for the show, I have a special on our on our American website, special for a pack. You can actually buy a pack and save $100. You know,
what's that website then?
That's EMF Protection -blueshield.com.
EMF Protection -blueshield.com. Okay.
And on the products page of that, we have a PayPal link which has pack, which you get a plug-in Blue Shield to do the whole house. You get a portable one to take with you, and you also get a USB device which you actually put into your computer when you're using it. And you're saving around about $104.
Yep. And you don't have any idea if this would work on the approaching radiation cloud from Japan, would you?
That's a little bit different radiation. That's radioactivity.
Oh, yeah. It's not just some kind of field.
It needs to make the air fall out, that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we should invest in scarves.
I think we should just all take iodine and potassium iodide and protect our thyroids from that kind of radiation. But in essence, it's actually a very similar effects, just a lot stronger. You know, you do experience with nuclear radiation, you do experience nausea and vomiting, feeling fatigued and low on energy and stuff. Yeah, that's because it's a very, very high dosage. But electromagnetic radiation is not very unlike that, which actually low dosage, but you do have similar symptoms. I wouldn't say your hair would fall out, but it probably wouldn't help with stress levels. And as soon as your stress levels go up, of course, your immune system is impacted. So they're similar, but the radioactive type radiation is a lot more severe.
Well, you know, we had George Heminger on earlier on last week, I believe. And when the radiation's coming and you can see it on the satellite, it's just so freaky. And what's even more freaky is that when you look outside your window, you can't see anything.
We're lucky we're in New Zealand.
Oh, you know, everybody says that, you know, oh, Vinny, you're all screwed, blah, 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 blah. You're going to die. You're going to die anyway, but you should be just grateful that you're going to die eventually in some country that's at least slightly freer than other countries that will just kill you for doing what you're saying and doing it right now. Anyway, you know, it's like this total moral relativism. It doesn't matter that we've got these freedoms being taken away from us. The fact of the matter is we have these freedoms, therefore we should just be happy with what we've got and then just, you know, just let everything get worse progressively. And just be thankful that, that as they get worse, they're not getting worse and worse. You know, I don't know if people play these mind games on themselves to try and deal with reality. It's so hilarious. You know, you got to laugh. You know, you got to laugh. Why not? What do you got to lose? Your sanity?
Of course, we want to live, an active and healthier life as possible while we're here. You know, I mean, you wouldn't want to be here and be in pain or be unhealthy. If you're going to live to the fullest and live the best you can, I reckon, you know, make the most of it every day.
Yeah. Well, you know,
so just running through the products on the website here. If people are interested out there, we've got the Blue Shield USB, which reduces travel fatigue. People can take it on the plane. It actually meets the electromagnetic emission standards, so it's safe for airplane flight. Okay. That one you can put in your pocket or just put in your laptop case and keep it there and plug it in when you're actually using your laptop.
Yeah.
So that's the first product. That's available for $55. Okay, next one is the Blue Shield Portable, which runs off 3 volts, okay? Now, these batteries last for 11,000 hours, which is about a year and a half. So it's not going to be about to run out of power.
Can you recharge them?
In a hurry. You just throw them away and put new ones in. You can use rechargeable batteries, but your rechargeable batteries are a lower voltage, so you won't get the same performance out of it.
Okay.
A couple of AAA alkaline batteries. That also, they're microprocessor controlled. It has a little microprocessor which regulates all the frequencies and sets the timing and everything. That is also safe for airplane flight, and a lot of people use it when they travel in the car as well to prevent travel sickness. We had one guy travel from the USA, and he has his testimonial on our website. He says, "I no longer get jet lag since I carry a Blue Shield around with me." And he says, "This is really something since I'm already 78 years old." So he's quite old and he doesn't really experience jet lag because he's carrying around the Blue Shield. Now, without the Blue Shield, he gets jet lag. So he's proved that one for himself. They've also,
That's pretty strange. Because you know everybody who travels and such like that knows what freaking jet lag is. And to be able to actually thwart jet lag, oh my god, that'd be great. People might actually now be encouraged to actually come somewhere near New Zealand because you won't have the jet lag. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and my very special guest is Mark Langdon from our Blue Shield .info, or rather EMF Protection -BlueShield .com. We got him on here until the end of the hour today. And one thing I'd probably want to be getting into after the show is certainly about the New World Order and the kind of broader agenda behind all this EMF radiation crapola, because, you know, it's cheaper to make things which don't kill people, in my opinion. And there's probably a good idea to actually go about some description of construction methodology around technology that produces a positive effect on human life, rather than forcing it to cark itself like some description of bird dying on a beach. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio, and incidentally, the vinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y, not Vinnie with an E. The E's for Eastwood. And we'll be right back after the break from gorillamedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news.
Well, there's only one thing I need.
About there's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Check out our fabulous archives and join us in the chat room there. Well, one thing I wanted to say just before we go back into our elaborations with Mark Langdon from Blue Shield is that today's Will's birthday. And I wanted to say very much happy birthday to him, and wish him very well with his festivities. Now, back to the grinding stone here. Now, Mark, how long have you actually known about the New World Order and all this kind of stuff? Because me, I'm kind of relatively new to it. Only been in the studying phase for a couple of years now.
Oh, I've known about it for 24 years, roughly.
Yep. That's pretty old school.
I mean, you know, this Illuminati thing keeps on coming up, and I've seen it time and time again, and the agenda and all that, and I've been really interested in a lot of stuff behind it all. Yeah.
Well, I presume this is one of the reasons why you're out getting your EMF blockers and things like that.
Yeah, well, I really like to help people, and if someone can have a tool such as Blue Shield to help their everyday life and, you know, prevent stress, maybe even make themselves a little bit more healthier, well, I'm into that, you know, and making it available to people, not some extraordinary cost, you know, that some of these products out there are doing this and doing that. But, you know, you got to pay $200 or $300 for a device. People aren't interested in that. You know, you got to make it available to the masses. And that's the whole trick of it, I reckon. Help people help themselves.
Yeah. Oh, a question from the chat room. How old are you, Mark? You may not want to answer that one.
I'm 41.
See, there we go. As you say.
I've been into this sort of thing since I was 16, so I've been looking into it and being aware of it. Because when I was 16, I ran my engineer friend and engineer. He developed the circuitry, etc. I made it look pretty, package it, market it, and all that sort of thing. In 1986, we met up, and it eventuated from a product they actually put up in the spacecraft for NASA. And when NASA go above the Earth's magnetic field, they're no longer affected by it in a positive way, and therefore they tend to go a little bit crazy in the spacecraft because of the frequencies in the spacecraft. And they started beating each other up and stuff. And
the space madness.
they didn't have their tinfoil caps on, and they started beating each other up and that. And yeah, NASA was quite alarmed at why they were actually experiencing some aggressive behavior. And you see this happening in the world all over right now, right? Aggressive behavior? Does that ring a bell?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. The proliferation of wireless technologies is causing people's brains to cycle higher, okay? When the brains cycle higher, they start to get a little bit aggressive there. And, you know, they tend to turn around and punch the nearest thing to them. And you see that happening all over the world, right? People, you know, doing more crazy things and because the brain is cycling higher. And what's happening now with our environment, it's pretty shocking. If they had a blue shield, of course they'd be calm and collected and they'd kind of sit there and go, oh, well, you know, that's all very well and we'll just carry on. But of course...
What if you made like a super blue shield that like covered the entire Earth or something?
Actually, I've been thinking about that lately. I've been thinking about instead of cell phone towers, I'm thinking of putting up blue shield towers all around the city. Of course, you'd have to use fairly high power to cover big areas, but it could be possible for all your major metropolitan areas that you could actually calm the whole city down, literally.
Mm.
Yep,
yeah.
That is possible.
Whoa,
of course,
whoa,
it'll have to be done on a higher level. Get a bit of funding from the government to do that.
That's evil, bro. your device is going to pacify the population. Oh, they're already pretty freaking pacified now at the moment, though, eh? I mean, they've got a hell of a lot of good reasons to be really, really ticked off.
Oh, that's fluoride, you know. That's fluoride. Yeah. Fluoridation does that.
Yeah.
That's called dumping down. I don't want to dumb down people. I just want to make them less stressed, you know, so they actually have a healthy lifestyle.
So that is possible. So instead of having a whole bunch of stressed out, dumbed down people, we'll have a lot of like calm, chilled out, dumb people. It'll be fantastic. It could be worse, you know, and it would be great if we did that in just like New Zealand or something like that. Imagine if you had, I don't know, some grand evil sort of James Bond villain type plan to get a blue shield up, like put it on the moon or something like that to shoot them, to shoot a massive beam of anti-EMF energy our way. Well, I'd like to thank you very much.
We've been actually thinking about getting these devices on planes and stuff. Of course, we've had these blue shields at NASA, and this was a few years ago. So it was actually Dave Watkins at JPL NASA. He launched the shuttles. Now, normally, when he's involved with launching the shuttles, they're spending a long time in front of computers and stuff. And he's got our testimonial on the website, and he said, we just launched another shuttle tonight and went through an evening of stress without going down the tubes. I still have energy and not tired. So there is still some effect on me from the EMF in these areas, but the improvement in the last 2 days is amazing. The first day I noticed that the leg cramps were mostly gone. So he's getting leg cramps from a lack of magnesium, which is also stress-induced. So.
Well, you know, it's a multifaceted agenda and it's a multifaceted solution. Thanks, Mark, for coming on the show with us today. His website, ladies and gentlemen, is www.emfprotection-blueshield.com. That's blueshield.com. Thanks very much for coming on, mate. We definitely want to have you on again sometime.
Thanks, Vinny. Thanks for the opportunity. Have a good day.
All right, we will. Catch you later, ladies and gentlemen.